We started this whole sermon series by looking at the end of chapter 7, where Jesus' words shared how to weather the storms of life, because they will come. That we not only hear the words of Jesus, but we put them into practice. That is how we build a strong foundation. And so what we've been looking at these past couple weeks is, what does it mean to be salt of the earth, light of the world? What it means to love our enemies. And by the way, I went back to the rodeo, had a much better experience. I had a yellow parking pass. Thank you, Millers. It was awesome. And then lastly, we looked at, what does it mean to store up treasures in heaven? And that we don't find our identity in our possessions and our stuff, our successes. This morning, we're looking at a pretty challenging section of Scripture. It's the beginning of chapter 7. And we hear about Jesus' words about judging others. And so I say to you this morning, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I'm Dan Shepard, one of the pastors here at Gloria Day, and it is a joy and a blessing to share his word with you today. But also, it's a pretty hard word to share with you today. Bottom line, I want to remind you, is that we're not the judge. God is. And the judge finds us guilty. Guilty of all sin that deserves condemnation, but yet he still sends his son Jesus to die our death, to receive our punishment, and then the judge declares us not guilty. So if I would ask you, majority of Christians, majority of people in this world who know the Bible, or just somewhat read the Bible, if I asked them to pick their favorite verse, they'd probably be John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now, in contrast, if the world were to pick its favorite verse, it would probably be the key verse for this message. Matthew 7:1. Judge not, that you not be judged. You know, there's folks who know Scripture and folks who don't even know about Scripture who still know this quote. They don't even know where to find it in the Bible, but they sure love to quote it. But the problem is, both Christians and non-Christians don't really know what this verse means. And whilst one of the most quoted verses of Scriptures, it's also one of the most misunderstood. Why? Because there may be some folks, a lot of folks, including those gathered here, right? Me, y'all, and those online, believe that religion should be private and that morality is subjective. We live in a world that says, my truth is mine. And there is not absolute truth. It's all relative. So basically, we believe or we get caught up in the fact that people say, you can't tell me I'm wrong. You see, folks like us love to quote this verse as a first defense, or as a defense mechanism when accused of doing something wrong. Don't judge me. No one has the right to judge anyone else. No one is perfect. Everyone should be able to do what he or she wants to do, and no one should tell them they can't. So many folks see this verse as a pass for sin-filled behavior, or a clever way of quoting Scripture to justify a lifestyle, a behavior, an action, an attitude. In fact, here's what I believe the world sees this section of Scripture from Matthew chapter 7, 1 to 6 about judging others. That's verses 1 through 6 of chapter 7. That's what the world sees. And so, It has become the ultimate smackdown. Who are you to judge me? Which is actually a pretty judgmental statement in and of itself. I realize in his ministry, Jesus said some pretty difficult things. Things that invade our thinking, intrude into our lifestyles, force us out of our comfort zones, challenge our assumptions, and convict our lifestyles. They're difficult passages, not because we don't understand them, but because we don't want to obey them. They strike at the very core of our existence. Matthew 7, 1-6 is one of those times. So when I share with you this message, you have to recognize I struggle with this as well. Maybe I'm getting too old and ornery. Maybe I'm just tired. Maybe I'm frustrated with the world at times. Maybe I just get impatient. I can't figure out why people don't get it. Or maybe it's just easier for me to point out the sins of others so I don't have to look at mine. Here's the bottom line of this message. Jesus calls us to live as his forgiven, redeemed children. He gave his life for us so that when we're judged, we stand forgiven. Not guilty for all the sins and receive the punishment we deserve, but he places that guilt on Jesus. We're celebrating that in 3 weeks, his death, his resurrection, that gives us victory over sin, death, and the evil one. The victory that declares us not guilty. But as his forgiven, redeemed children, as his followers, we're to help more people live life with Jesus every day. We have the privilege and responsibility of living in his grace and mercy, embracing that grace and mercy and forgiveness, but extending that same grace, mercy, and forgiveness to others. So let's jump in. What does it mean when Jesus says, judge not? Because judging others is like a spiritual gift for every one of us. We know how to do that well. Now, there are some times when not all judging is bad. There's some good judging that can be very favorable in a positive light. But if we're honest with ourselves, we do it more negatively than we realize. Don't raise your hand. You may have already participated in that this morning. Maybe you're sitting in your pew and you're ready for worship and 8:40 someone walks in. Why are they late? Maybe you've said, do those parents not know how to take care of their kids? What's wrong with kids these days? Why are they not wearing green today? What is wrong with them? Full disclosure, I texted my wife like 5 minutes before church started and asked her to bring me a green tie. I got no green on. Maybe during the service you're going to say about me, why did he say that? Or maybe you've already said, or you will see, that was a terrible hymn to sing. Or why doesn't that person smile? Or maybe you're scrolling through Facebook. I mean, social media is the ultimate opportunity to judge others. I mean, it's just such ripe, fertile ground to make fun of people and just judge them. I just thought through some stuff, and I asked some of our teenagers, I said, give me some things that people say that not you say, but what others would say. That guy is ugly. Why did that person post that? That was just stupid. Okay, boomer. Man, he's so cringy. What's wrong with her teeth? Now, before we get too far, realize there is a difference between judgmental and discerning truth from error. As a follower of Christ, we're not to have a critical or judgmental attitude toward others, but we're to seek God's truth with love and gentleness. A great picture of this is the story of King David and Nathan. David, committed adultery, killed her husband with Bathsheba, killed her husband, married her. Response, Nathan shares with David a story about a servant with one lamb that he loved and a ruler that had many sheep. When guests come to visit, instead of killing one of his many sheep, the ruler kills a servant's lamb, the one he loved. David hears a story. He's outraged. He declared, that man shall surely die. And what does Nathan do? He judges David. He says, you're the man. The motivation, though, was to point out sin. And it was to his own judgment. Nathan was confronting the king who could kill him. But he loved him enough to confront him in this error of his sin. On the flip side, it's very easy for us to be critical about people, how they dress, what kind of house they live in, how they keep the house, the car they drive. And it's real easy to point out the faults of others and condemning them for their actions and decisions without even knowing anything about them. So what are we supposed to do? Jesus says, judge not. Are we supposed to remain silent? As we study this text, you'll find that Jesus calls his followers to a higher standard. He does command us to confront sin, but not with a hypocritical, judgmental heart that constantly sees the faults in others while ignoring our own. That we're to do that in a spirit of gentleness. We'll touch on that later. So turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. First book of the New Testament, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7. It's on page 812, using the Bibles in front of you. Verse 1, Jesus says, judge not that you not be judged. Now, there are two ways judge can be used in the New Testament. The first one, judge, and this can be used to judge between things, to differentiate, to discern, to judge between right and wrong, good and evil, righteous and unrighteous. The other way it's used is used to condemn. There is a call from Jesus to differentiate good from evil, the sheep from the goats, discern what is right and wrong, but according to Scripture. And this is where we get in trouble. When we live in an ultra-tolerant and increasingly diverse culture, when the Bible defines something as wrong or evil, the messenger is often pounced on as being judgmental or intolerant. Okay, while we may only be discerning between good and evil, righteous and unrighteous, but the challenge is it's real easy to refer to the second meaning of how to judge somebody, that of condemnation. Imagine if this said, instead of judge not, it said condemn not, that you not be condemned. You see, Jesus is calling us not to condemn other people or pass final judgment on them, declaring them to be forever guilty. That's not our job. Stay in your lane. That's God's job. See, understand, the entire culture of Jesus' day was centered on the notion that some people were acceptable, others were not. Kind of sounds like today. Jews saw themselves inherently more or better and more acceptable than non-Jews. They commonly referred to as Gentiles, as pigs, as dogs. They lumped entire people group into categories to hate. The Romans had a dismissive view of the Jews. And these judgments even continued within the Jewish community. Rich people were seen as more blessed and acceptable to God than poor people. Healthy were seen as righteous. Those with diseases or disabilities were judged to be sinners receiving their due. This is where Jesus is saying that judgment, that condemnation is wrong. When we judge someone, we condemn someone, declaring that they have no value, no worth, that they don't matter to God or to us, we're elevating ourselves. The more people push below us, the higher in value we must be. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 reminds us that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The judge has declared the verdict. No condemnation, not guilty in Christ Jesus. So this verse does not prohibit us from discerning what is right and wrong according to God's word, but that we are to speak the truth in love. What Jesus is forbidding is a critical, condemning, arrogant spirit. Jesus gives us a couple reasons why we shouldn't judge others. The first reason in this verse 1 is that we're not the judge. God is. We're not qualified, nor we're given the authority to condemn others. Oftentimes, we don't know the backstory of someone's story. You know, I love the fact that we have, I asked for us to have three sets of hosts or greeters in what I call the gauntlet of grace. When you walk through those sliding electric doors, I don't want any of you to get by without somebody saying hello to you. Do you know that a lot of those folks are asked to stay past 8:30 to make sure they can greet anybody who comes in late? And the very people that we've asked to serve as host then show up late to church, and someone might look at them and say, huh, do you need to set your alarm clock 10 minutes earlier? We don't know what's going on in their lives. We don't know the extenuating circumstances. We don't know how far they've come. Most of us don't understand people's motives. We can only see their actions. We can't see their heart. The second reason, God will judge us the same way we judge others. Verse 2, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Man, God's going to judge us the way we judge others. Are you harsh and overwhelming, overbearing to others? Or are you loving and merciful toward others? Do you have a generous spirit, overlooking the faults of others? And Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Third reason, we should judge ourselves first. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 to 5 says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. It's interesting to note, the speck and the log are the same material. The reason why Jesus is saying it, I believe, is that we're so adept at finding fault in the lives of others is because we're too familiar with ourselves. We often accuse people of doing what we're doing ourselves. So what do we do? How do we do this? Look at Psalm 139. The psalmist writes, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. 1 John 1, you hear this on Sunday mornings. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Okay, that's confusing even more so. Now that means I can never talk to anybody. No. Don't condemn them. Don't judge them guilty. They may be guilty. That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to hold people accountable for their actions or correct them in a loving manner. It forbids premature, improper correction. Jesus is saying that we should help someone see the fault of their sin, but we first have to look at the speck in our, before we can look at the speck in our brother's eye, look at our own. Because if I don't take care of what's in my eye, the 2x4 plank in my own, I might bop them in the head with it instead while I'm trying to point out the little speck of dust in theirs. So how do we do that? How do we confront someone that doesn't come across as condemning or judgmental? Well, look what Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says. Brothers, sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you, not the pastor, you, that includes me too, who are spiritual, should restore him or her in a spirit of what? Gentleness. And then look at this warning. Keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted. Because you might be doing it with gentleness, and they come back, who are you to judge? Do you know you do this, 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 and this? Well, you do this, this, and this, and you do this. You just got sucked in. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. If we truly love people, great commandment, love God with all you got, love people. There's an opportunity to help us bear one another in their sin and their struggle with sin. But we approach them as a brother and sister, a beloved child of God, rather than a judge, a jury, and the executioner. He doesn't say you're to be quiet. He forbids a critical, harsh spirit that gets in the way of helping more people live life with Jesus every day. But what about those who still say, don't judge me? What happens when someone says, I don't care? Because not everyone is going to take kindly when you try to help them identify the sin they're living in. I don't know anybody who likes to be confronted that doesn't turn it into a defense, and either they fight or flight. How do we do that? What do we do? I'm telling you, Jesus' words in verse 6 are pretty harsh. I didn't really realize how harsh these were until I really studied this text for this message. There are folks in our lives who don't care what God's word says. Look what verse 6 says. Do not give dogs what is holy. And do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. By the way, those are Jesus' words, not mine, so don't judge me right now, please. Here's a couple thoughts. You cannot force the gospel on people. You cannot force God's word on others if they don't believe God's word is true. You can't force change on anyone else. I can't change anyone. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. I can only change how I receive and react to what they say to me, lest I not get tempted as well. Rather than judge, God encourages us, commands us to love those who are worthy of judgment, to love sinners. That's actually what Jesus did. That's what actually Jesus did for me. and for you. So let's draw some conclusions. First, before we judge other people, ask if you want to be judged the same way you're doing it to them. Second, before we judge others, look within. Third, go to the person because you want to help them, not condemn them, not destroy them. And finally, rest in God's grace, recognizing that you can't help a person who doesn't want help. And even if they attack you, love them. I'll close you with this. 1 Peter chapter 4. Look what Peter writes. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multiple of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. I'd actually say without condemnation, without judgment. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Because you're a steward, a caretaker, a manager of God's varied grace. This, y'all, is how we help more people live life with Jesus every day. May God grant that for Jesus' sake. To God alone be the glory. Amen. Let's pray.